Welcome to Exponential Trust Times, the unique AI channel of trust that creates bridges between AI expert and tech enthusiast. I'm Dr. Lubna Kari, Executive AI Business Leader and Digital Transformer at Fortune 500 and CAC40 for more than two decades, and the President of AI Exponential Thinker. Within our innovative concept, Share the Stage, we received a question from the audience to offer a fair opportunity to connect and meet personally our guests. So let's listen to our guest in this special moment of authenticity. Humanize AI is a unique, fair opportunity to raise various perspectives about artificial intelligence and the mysterious unknown future in times of exponential technology. And today, I have the pleasure to have my guest, Audrey Smith, the Chief Operating Officer at MLTwist, which is a platform that generates automated AI data pipelines at the click of a button. She has led AI data operation for the past 8 years at companies like Google, Amazon, and Labelbox. Audrey has deployed hundreds of solutions across text, image, audio, and video, and we'll talk much more about that during this episode. So welcome, Audrey, to the show, Humanized AI.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. It's awesome to be here.
Thank you very much. So as everyone know, this show is about different sections, and every section is a kind of different stage where we'll move from one stage to another and address different topics. And the first topic, it's about your authentic journey. So Audrey, you have an authentic journey as you started your career in law firm in Paris, moved to UK for a couple years, and then joined the California dream land with various experiences on data labeling from Apple, Google, to find yourself machine learning data program manager at Amazon for years. And today you are the chief operating officer of MLTwist in San Francisco. So firstly, congratulations, amazing journey. And with the audience, we would like to know a little bit about if you have like to pick up three magic moments in such a journey, what will be those kind of momentum?
As you mentioned, I started my journey as an in-house lawyer in France, but that was not my calling. And I did that only like for a few years. I really wanted to get into the tech industry, but I couldn't find a way in when I was in France. And one of the reasons is that like when you study in France in certain field, it's like there is this idea in your mind that's stuck that you have to stay in that field and make your career out of it. And so I had first to find a way to free up from that idea, and that didn't happen in France. And I went to the UK for 6 years, and there it didn't happen either. And it's not because culturally it was not possible, but it was more because myself, I didn't free up myself from, I didn't allow myself to do something different. But the thing that happened in the UK is that I became fluent in English. I had again international. And I also met people from all around the world, from different backgrounds, who actually were able to switch from like a field to another one. And I was like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it. So when I moved to the US 8 years ago, I was like, okay, this is it. I'm going to do it. And I started with like a very low income job in the data ops world. I was literally annotating stuff. And I started as a contractor at Apple. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went to Google, worked on very exciting project from GDPR compliance to improve user experience for Google Shopping to content moderation for YouTube. So I really touched on a lot of different projects in data operation, and I got super excited about it. Like, how can I make an impact? How, without any technical background and any like experience in that field, I was able to get into like that and then have an impact on those projects. So I decided that I was going to keep going, and then I got hired by 4 years. And I learned everything about data operation thanks to my manager, who was a PhD in computer vision. And I learned like so much from him. And really, like that's one of like that's the second key moment. It's like, okay, you can do it. You just need to allow yourself to do it. And the third moment I would say that was really important to me is when after 4 years at Amazon, I joined Labelbox. And it was a Series A startup, so very small one. I think I was number 25, the first person in data operation. And as you know, like in a startup, like you have opportunities everywhere because there's not
True.
enough people to do all of it. So you can go and then work on product features. You can go and work like have like a more salesy role where you're going to convert prospect to customers. I was involved in like generating revenue for the company, and that was just like amazing to see how much I could do. And I got super excited, and I was like, okay, this is something I can also do. I again allow myself to think, okay, you can do even like that. You can even be part of a founding team and then build a business from scratch. And that was like just like very exciting to me that I was allowing myself to do all of that. And so I joined Ametrist a year ago. And since then I've been working with my co-founder on like this business that is really like focused on data pipeline automation.
Amazing. And it's very inspiring what you are saying about the fact that you have a background from law, right? But you were thinking from the early time that I need to switch, I need to do something else. And you have all this path until you achieve it, right? So it means it make like you said it's about allowing yourself to do it, but also it's about the perseverance. You have to think about act as until you achieve it, right? And I think you are the example that it's possible, and it will be inspiring this part also for everyone. The second part is you came from law, you are working in technology today for years now, actually for a decade, and it's very important that to show that it's a pluridisciplinary space, right, where
Right.
everyone can find a place, and we will talk about that. But again, 2 points here that I want to highlight to inspire much more girls, women, young generation to rely to I mean to allow themselves, as you said very well, and to jump on those opportunity. Audrey, section two, which is the stage two, it's about the magic of technology, and we are working on this space, right? So you master the art of data labeling, right? With all this experience in GAFA company. Firstly, if you can a little bit explain to us your current role in this startup MLTwist, and also what is the data operation, how you define all of these aspects, and if you can say a little bit about the startup as well, because if I'm not wrong, it was selected this year by Stanford Institute for Human-Centered Artificial Intelligence, which is an amazing achievement for you, I guess, right?
Yeah, definitely. We are very proud of that partnership. Sure. So MLTwist has been created with the idea that there is a problem occurring for any company working in the AI space. Data needs to flow from like a tool to another tool. Data needs to be transformed. Data needs to be annotated. It needs to go into an MLOps platform to train a model. It's just like there is all this journey for the data, and it needs also to be sourced if I go back to the very start of it. And that's very time consuming and hard to build for data scientists and machine engineers. The pipes that will be the glue between all the different parts of the flow of the data flow. I'm sure you're aware of that, but there are like hundreds of tools out there that are like saying that they can do a portion of the ML journey for the data. And they are all amazing at what they do, but they are not good for everything. So you have to have this sort of like puzzle that you're going to put in place in like for any AI company. And you're going to take a tool there and a tool there and a tool there. And then you're going to create your right data pipeline that's going to create a high performing model. And some companies find it so difficult that they are even building in-house tools. That's where it becomes crazy. You have like all these options out there, and then still you have a lot of companies that are building in-house tooling and pipeline because it's too complicated. So really, Emmet Twist came from that idea that we need something simple with no integration, with no code needed, where you can just plug into a platform and that's going to generate the pipes between the different tools you need. So that all the time that your data science teams and machine learning engineers were spending on that, they can finally spend it on what they want to do, which is training a model. So that's what we do at ML Twist. I've been there for like 1.5 year now, and we are making like amazing progress thanks to generative AI. We are able also now to create pipes on the fly. In terms of your questions about data operation and what it means and why it's important, data operation is, to me, at the core of what it means to get a successful AI project. Why? Because data is like the core of it. If you have bad data, you're not going to have a good performing model. So the idea that, the model performance is based on like the type of model you're using is now kind of like over, because you have out of the shelves very good models that you can use. What's going to make a difference is the data that you're going to use.
Sure.
And that's what data operation is about. This is about sourcing the data, annotating the data, and then make sure that the quality and the accuracy of the annotations that are attached to that data is going to be accurate, so that the model is going to be able to perform very well. And we are kind of here to like orchestrate all of that and make sure that everything is going to be done correctly. It's a very cross-functional position where you're going to be working not only with engineers, so you need to have the technical knowledge, but you need also to have a business knowledge, because you're going to be looking at the product perspective. You're going to talk to product managers. You're going to talk to marketing. You're going to talk also to finance to set up a budget for all of that. So it's a very cross-functional position, and that's where I think it's a strength who come from a background that is not technical. That's why I found my place in data operation, because if you come from a non-technical background, you're gonna have like these ideas that are very different from like other technical people that are involved in the process, and you're gonna be able to even have an impact on the type of data and make it less biased. You're gonna have different ways to look at the strategy or the processes that you're gonna put in place, and that's gonna make the whole process way more like richer and complex, but in a very good way, if that makes sense.
And you're absolutely right, because actually everyone is talking about AI, right? And generative AI is pushing the market to accelerate much more on that. And when you talk about AI, it's about data. If we take one step back, and according to your experience, right, Audrey, what kind of issue generally company can face in data labeling operation? And also, how can we make this space more inclusive and more diverse? Because you start talking a little bit about that, but let's dig on this aspect as about diversity. It's very important to have a diverse, inclusive team to build those technology, right?
So in terms of like issues that can like, so it's very hard, right? Like I'm sure you heard about the term that Andrew Ng was talking about, which is like data-centric AI approach. And like when I got invited into that panel about data-centric AI, I was like, okay, what is that? So I tried to dig into it and to understand what is data-centric AI. And I realized that this is like what I've been doing for like many, many years, because data operation is about data-centric AI. That's nothing else but that, like being focused on making sure that the data is going to be accurate, that, as you mentioned, you have to go fast to make sure that you can work on the model and then go to market very fast. And you have to make it as cheap as possible because you want to save money to the company. And that's like the challenges that we see happening. I think that in terms of like companies, what they are struggling with is to find the data. Right now, there is like really like this problem with like finding the right source of data. And it's also coming from the fact that there is more and more regulation coming our way. So we have to be careful with that. There is also the fact that the data that you might get, what type of data, what quality of the data you got, you have, you sourced, is it going to be a good a sample, like representative of, you know, whatever you wanna detect, and like that's also a problem right away in the data itself. Is it biased or is it not biased? There is this idea also that companies right now, like I can see it in the Silicon Valley, you hire people like you. It's very human. You tend to go for the people who are resonating with you somehow, right? And that creates like these teams of people that all look alike, that come from the same universities, that come from the same background, that are like mostly male. And that again is going to have an impact on the model. It's gonna have an impact on the data used and how it's going to be used and so on. So there is like I think a lot of pain points along the way that need to be addressed, and that we need to be aware of. That we need to say, okay, I admit it, this is something we've done for like years, let's talk about it and let's find a way to have an impact on that. So it's very challenging. And one last thing I would say is that data operation, there is no degree. There is nothing. You come from like whatever background you have, and then you make your way into that field. So there are more and more people who are involved. And so it creates that sort of like experience that you are gaining and that you can like go and export to other companies. But in terms of like degree or knowledge, you just have to learn as you go. And that's probably also a challenge because a lot of women might be intimidated by the fact that, okay, I don't have the right degree.
Yeah.
How do I get into that? That's why also I like talking, you know, publicly about the things, because I want to make sure that people understand that you can do it if you really want. You just have to keep knocking at the door until someone opens it. But like as we talked about it earlier, if you have to allow yourself first before someone gives you a chance. If
yeah.
you don't allow yourself, if you don't think you can do it, then nobody's gonna trust you with it.
Now I have a question, Audrey, if I may. If there is a masterclass that you would like to offer in the coming 6 months or more, what will be the content?
Well, I think it's related to what I just discussed, data operation. Like we, like even throughout this community, now we are trying to get articles out that are more about what it means, what skills do you need, but also like, you know, what part of the business are you going to be involved in, and how to manage an AI project. How to go about the different data types and what type of, like, how do you get quality out of your outcome? The fact that this is an iterative process, how are you going to find when you do quality control on your data, what went wrong? Why is the quality impacted on certain aspect of the data and not on the other one? And how are you going to fix that? There are so many different reasons why data might be impacted, and you need to be like, kind of like investigating, like a police officer, what happened to your data? Why was it impacted? Why is the accuracy so low? Why is the model not performing as we expected? And that's like really like going back to everything that happened to the data and then try to understand where it went wrong. And it, like there are so many different reasons it can happen. But like, I think that would be my go-to if I had to build like a masterclass to just talk about that and then like give the opportunity to people to really understand that they can, you know, they can learn from that and then they can just go and then apply. Because as we go and as AI is going to expand, there will be more and more roles for data operation people, and the demand is going to increase for sure, and we need more people involved that are from different backgrounds.
Great, great to know. I think, as I said, it's very valuable, especially in this time, and especially also it can open a lot of opportunity for diversity and inclusive space for everyone. So hopefully we work on that and have the opportunity to deliver this masterclass somewhere for some community that makes sense to everyone. I know it makes sense to everyone, but we need to find the community that makes sense to them in order to deliver take it as an opportunity very quick and jump on those opportunity and you know and take benefit after out of it. Now the stage four it's about the AI deal of trust. And when we prepared a little bit the podcast we talk really about that and we dig on there many aspects, Audrey, about how can we build trust technology? How can we build responsible AI technology, products, services? Now the question is, firstly, how you perceive AI regulation in time of accelerated generative AI, and you start talking about generative AI, and also how data and data labeling is playing a major role in this in order to figure out where are the biases in data and around.
So like I think a way like that we are trying to implement at MLTwist to tackle data bias, or at least to make companies more responsible with the data they are using, is to create a sort of data ID card. So the fact that we are working on the data pipelines, we are able to see where the data is coming from, where it's going, and also who has touched it, what type of people has touched it, what tools, what country it was in. So we are trying to get this like kind of like a tracking spreadsheet that's going to be sent to our customers at the same time as the output of their data, so that they can be responsible. They cannot say we didn't know. Like it's there. And I'm seeing with the regulation that are coming our way, it's going to become more and more important to have that type of like tracking tool that's going to really help companies make their own decision on what data they are using and how they are using it. That's one tool that we are trying to put in place at MLTwist, and I think we are in a good position to do so. And then in terms of data operation, I mean, you know, there are so many examples out there of data bias that it becomes like kind of frustrating that people are not really. So there are like two things. There are two problems. The first one is that, A, we have to remember that it's very hard to source data. Even right now, IDR was like, oh yeah, we have so many open source, you know, possibilities. The reality, that doesn't mean that those open source options are viable, are accurate, and are non-biased. That's just like not true. It takes a lot of time to dig into the data and make sure that it's going to be non-biased. And what it means, it's a very subjective topic, right? Because depending on where you're coming from and who you are, you're going to think there is a bias or there is not a bias, right? So it's just like it's also a very philosophical question that need to be addressed. And so I think that like awareness is definitely the first step, no matter what happens after that. As we are de democratizing AI, and that's going to touch literally the entire planet, and we need to be aware that we cannot have a certain group of people, a certain type of you know, like educational background owning that part. It just doesn't make sense. And we can already know that it's dangerous to think that way, right? So, companies, in my sense, should be responsible for that. They should be being able to say, "Hey, we are addressing that problem, and we are hiring 20% this and 20% that." And it might look weird, but like it's probably the only way that we're going to be able to tackle at the very source of it, the data bias, is by forcing companies to have a diverse workforce. If you look at there is only 26% of the workforce that is female in the US right now. I've seen that in a 2020 World Economic Forum report. So we are like a we are a long way to go, even though if we feel that in the US, things are a bit more open to women, it's only 26% of it. And I think that we really need to be like working on that now, if it, otherwise the gap is going to become bigger and bigger.
I absolutely agree with you. Generative AI is here. We are generating tremendous quantity of contents, right? No one know which is trust and which is not trust, and so on, right? What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, that's I mean, like I heard like people saying, "Oh, we need to slow down, we need to slow down." I think that this is like we cannot slow down. It's gonna happen. This is what, like, it's it is happening. So the idea is like, how do we go about it? And I think it's very important to understand A, the source of the data is like the open source data that I was mentioning before. We don't know what it is. We don't know if
True.
it's like trustworthy. We don't know if it's going to be reliable. We don't know if it's true. And again, like philosophical question, what is, like, sometimes you can go with fact, but sometimes, that's just like pure ideas, and then they can be right for certain people and wrong for some other people. And so it we are getting into a very complex world where we're gonna have to educate people to doubt what they see, what
I
they
love
read,
you.
and what they hear, because it's just gonna come from everywhere. And if, like, I'm thinking about like younger people, like
100%.
they need to be educated. And I think that at one point we're going to have classes at school helping kids to doubt the data, to doubt what they're going to see online, because that can become very dangerous. Like, I think we have the potential to reach the entire planet with AI and accelerate the revolution at so many levels. And this is amazing. It can go into the medical field. It can go like in a lot of different ways. But the downside of that is that we need to educate the people. It's going very fast, and we need to act fast to educate the young generation, but also like the older ones, on like what it means and what is true and what is not true, and just being able to get people to be responsible to search for the truth. And that's where, like, there is a concern, and that's a very valid concern.
I love what you said about depth, because exactly this is the critical thinking that we should educate everyone, especially young generation, to depth on all everything. And it's depth because it's questioning. Actually, my point is you have to have a kind of depth. Why? Because you have to question things. When you question, you will much more explore, you will much more use your brain, your And this is the point. And last week they asked me the question in conference when I have a keynote, and they asked me, should we use ChatGPT? Should we use generative AI? I said, firstly, the answer is yes. The answer is yes, otherwise you are left behind. Now, the second point is you have to doubt, question it. As much as you question it, sometimes it will stop. If no information, it will stop. But sometimes you will discover plenty information, which is amazing, but you have to question it and you have to explore after that if is it true or not, right? So use your brain, question it, but use it. Use it, absolutely use it. Show it to your kids, sure to your family. It's very important to know, but also create awareness that as much as we create content, it's too hard for us to say what is trust and what is not trust. So the only way is to educate, as you said, Audrey, to educate everyone. Now we are approaching the end of this episode, and section 5, which is the last stage, it's a kind of Chinese portrait. It's 5 questions, very quick questions, quick answer. I'm saying every time quick answer, but sometimes I ask much more question on the based on your answer. I don't know. So the question 1 is, if you are a book, you will be.
So I think the one that really I liked and I read recently was option B. Facing adversity, building resilience, and finding joy by Sheryl Sandberg. So she wrote that book after her husband passed away unexpectedly, and she had to find her option B. She had to find, okay, my life was going to be like that, and now that's what I was talking about at the very beginning. There is a change in your life. Do you see it as like an obstacle and that's just going to be the way it is, or do you see it as, okay, I need to be resilient and I'm going to find my option B? And I think that that's like really resonate with me at like a professional level, but also a personal level. Being able to adapt, life happens and you need to be able to adapt to whatever comes your way.
I love it. Every time I discover a new book, I love that. Question 2, if you are a movie, you will be.
So I thought about that one. I think Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I don't know if you know about that one. The team also is like really, I'm really connecting to that one. It's about the fact that the question, like the main question is, are memories impacting your life, and erasing memories, is it going to have an impact on your future or not? And the idea that sometimes you have like painful things happening in your life, the idea that you could like by, you know, like magic, you are able to erase those memories from your brain. Like, what does it do? Does it impact your future? Does it impact the person you've become or you're going to become? Or is it just going to help you? Like, whatever. It's a very philosophical thing.
Wow.
But like, it's, I like the idea that sometimes you go through like very painful things and they are actually kind of making you stronger in a certain way. At the same time, they are making you weaker. Having those like challenges in life build who you are and make you the way you are, and you shouldn't like, you know, avoiding bad stuff, which obviously we cannot do, it's not gonna help in the end. It's part of life.
I will watch this one. If you ask someone from history, you would be.
Same thing. I had to think about it, but I think like Simone Weil, I would be. I think she, like, you know, women's right, and her life has been like, you know, just like obviously started like really bad, but like she was able to be, like, she's the model of resilience, right?
Yeah.
Like she overcame so many things and then became who she is and fought for women's rights. So it's just like, it's an amazing woman I would have loved to meet.
If you are a famous monument, you will be.
Obviously, the Eiffel Tower.
Okay. If you are a hashtag, you will be.
So I found that one, more diversity in AI to fight data bias. It's a long hashtag, but I think, like, I really believe that this is the core of it, really.
Amazing. And now the last piece of this show is share the stage. And in this part, it's open to you. The floor is yours. If you have any quote or message that you want to share with our audience, Audrey.
So I found that quote. It's from Michelle Obama. And I think it really resonates. Your success will be determined by your own confidence and fortitude. And I think, like, I'm just like repeating myself on over and over with like everything that we talked about. But the idea is that nothing is set in stone. wherever you're coming from, wherever you're born, wherever, like, whatever your educational background is, there is somewhere a little door that you can push and go where you need to go and go where you want to go. I'm always amazed at people who had, like their calling early on, and they knew exactly what they wanted to do with their life and when they were a child. And that was not me. I had to navigate. I had to go, different places, different countries, different jobs to find what I really wanted to do. And this is also fun to do it that way. It doesn't have to be like, a straight line. So that's really the message I wanna send.
I like what you said as a conclusion, and thank you very much, Audrey, for being with us in the show Humanize AI today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was an amazing discussion. Thank you.
You're welcome.